Welcome back to the Heights Podcast. At Heights, our mission is to love and to lead all people to a new life with Christ. This week is part two of a conversation with Pastor Matt and Pastor Jonathan about how Christians should engage with the political process. If you want to hear part one of this conversation, you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Enjoy the episode.
I have close friends that are very loud on opposite ends of the political spectrum. And these friends, have impacted my faith. They love Jesus. And they have strong political leanings and are loud about it. And so I learned pretty early on, as a young man that you can vote Republican and love Jesus, and you can vote Democrat and love Jesus. And oftentimes when you sit down and talk to those individuals about their Christian worldview, you can see that Christian worldview coming out of their party's ideologies.
Gotcha.
You know, both of the major American political parties would agree with the phrase "people matter,"
right?
And both of them would accuse the other party of saying people don't matter. Mm-hmm. Well, as a church, we believe that people matter, mm-hmm. that people were made in the image of God. And I use the phrase, I know that Pastor Lee here at the church has used the phrase too. It's not unique to him and it's not unique to me. It's one that's been around a long time. The first time I saw it, it came from Pastor Tim Keller out of New York. But that terminology is that we want to be a pro-life church, pro-life from womb to tomb, right? Mm-hmm. And pro-life from womb to tomb means that we want to protect the sanctity of life. Like, largely speaking, when you look at scripture, there is a very pro-life argument for human beings, for, you know, babies that are in the womb, that God has created them. He's given them an identity. He's given them a purpose. And our culture, my culture, has, to a great detriment, in my opinion, has really emphasized the choice that you don't really have to even let that life begin. Mm-hmm. And we get into arguments about when life begins.
Right.
Well, according to scripture, It begins at conception. Mm-hmm. It begins when the baby is in the mother's womb. That is something that when you say you are pro-life from womb to tomb, the beginning point is we're pro-life in the political ideology. We are pro-life when the baby is in the womb, and we are pro-life all the way to the tomb. And it doesn't matter what your language is, your ethnicity is, where you came from, how you got to the country. It doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is that you are a human being made in the image of God, and it is the responsibility of the church to love you, to care for you, and to strive to lead you to Christ from womb to tomb. And I believe that that falls in line, you know, being a church that desires to love and lead all people to a new life with Christ, mm-hmm. that means we want to love Republicans to Christ, and we want to love Democrats to Christ, and we want to love libertarians to Christ, and we want to love the young lady that had the abortion, and we want to see her come to Christ, and we want to love the lady that pickets outside of an abortion clinic, and we want to love that person to Christ. And we want to love the immigrant that came here against the laws of the land, and we want to see that person come to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if they came from Mexico, from South America, from the Middle East, from Canada. We want to see all people come to faith in Christ. And I am not against policies that protect the United States, mm-hmm. but I want everything about who I am to say that I love individuals. I love mm-hmm. people because I have a Savior that loves people. And we are able to love because He first loved us, showed us how to love individuals. And a lot of what we should be as a church, pro-life from womb to tomb, in my opinion, politically homeless, wanting all people from all backgrounds to come to faith in Christ and to see the actual kingdom as it's written in Scripture. What really matters is not the American kingdom, but the Christian kingdom, the kingdom of God that he's building right now through his church.
That's a good word. You know, and I think it's an important reminder that don't put your faith in politics or politicians or political parties. If you are trusting in the elephant or the donkey or the rhino or the hedgehog or the porcupine to save you, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be very disappointed. But you know that. But the kingdom that we should be building is God's kingdom.
Absolutely.
And that does mean that we as believers, you know, have the opportunity to speak our voice into the political process. And part of building his kingdom is giving input to the kingdom that we live in.
Right.
But that's only a part of it. You know, I was thinking about some of the political disagreements that may have gone on with Jesus and his 12 disciples, because you had Matthew, the tax collector, and you had Simon, the zealot, you know, so there's two people that were probably on very different ends of the political spectrum of his day, where you had one who was very, very pro-government because he worked for them.
Right.
And you had another that was, you know, basically like, you know, for lack of a better word, an insurrectionist, you know, wanted to overthrow the government.
Right.
And may have actively worked against the government. And you had these two guys following Jesus around. And the thing that those two guys had in common was that their lives were changed by Jesus. They had an encounter with Jesus. And they suddenly began to see that working for the man and the status quo, or working to overthrow the man and the status quo, neither of those were important anymore once you had the kingdom of God in front of you and the word become flesh.
Yes.
You know? So in the same way as we are believers in Christ, as we seek to follow Jesus, we should seek to follow him and to hold our political ideologies with an open hand.
Absolutely.
And always be open to the leading of Scripture and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, as we engage in the political process.
And I think going off of what you said about the disciples, even those two men that were on opposite ends of the political spectrum, both of them, church history tells us, gave their lives for the kingdom of God.
That's
and
right.
The forward moving of God's kingdom and his church. And they didn't give up their life for their political affiliations. They were willing to give up their lives to be persecuted even. History says that both of those men were persecuted, and they were put to death for their teachings on Christ. And that is something that I would never do for a political party or for a politician, but it is something that I would do for King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that I can sit at a table with somebody that is a Republican, and I can sit at a table with somebody that is a Democrat. I can sit at a person that's got wildly different views than me on a variety of topics, and we can come together, we can break bread together, we can fellowship together and look toward Christ together. And I'm not saying we don't talk about issues, we don't read Scripture and try to build a better Christian worldview in one another, discussing those views. I'm not afraid to talk political ideas or viewpoints. I said at the beginning that I was politically homeless, and I keep who I vote close to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't keep my political ideas close to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about my views and the things that I look for when I vote, but it's not going to impact my relationship with you or with anybody else that votes different than me.
Gotcha.
And so I think that's a huge thing. And, you know, one more thing. I think that the younger generations that we have right now, if you watch certain news outlets, they will tell you how politically charged the younger generations are. And having worked with millennials and with Gen Z for my entire ministry, mm-hmm. I think that that couldn't be more distant from the truth. Mm-hmm. I think that the younger generations are more likely to be apolitical. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to be to encounter. They're more likely to push back when you bring up the concepts of politics. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things in the church is we need our churches to be more about the kingdom of God than the kingdom of America that they're trying to build. Hmm. We need, and listen, I'm not saying that I'm against praying for our country.
Right.
Praying for our troops. I'm not anti-troop at all. I'm not saying that I am against even having conversations about ideas or political landscape in church. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's a better way than for a church to be so focused on America that we lose sight of the kingdom of God.
Yeah,
I think that is a great way to drive millennials and Gen Z away from church or to a different church. Hmm. I don't feel like a church should necessarily be apolitical. I feel like we should talk about issues and concepts and difficult concepts around the table. But I think we need to be careful at observing how we do it.
Yeah, I think that word "how" is really valuable. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, last week, Pastor Lee was preaching, and he was talking about some tough issues, about issues regarding marriage and divorce, and he used an illustration where he says, you know, when I did a wedding, you know, and I talked about the fact that a marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman,
right?
And because of the way he phrased it that way, somebody came and really pushed back and said, you know, why are you getting political in a wedding? He's like, well, that wasn't a political statement. But we live in this culture now where, like, on some level, like, everything's a political statement,
right?
You know, and so on the one hand, I think the church certainly has a place where we're speaking about issues that people would consider political issues. You know, the sanctity of life is a great example, yes, of an issue where I think the church should have a voice.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. But then how we talk about some of those issues, I think, is important.
Yes.
And again, and not losing sight of the point is that we're building the kingdom of God, not trying to build the kingdom of America.
Right. And we're not trying to build a better Republican Party.
Right.
And we're not trying to build a better Democrat Party. We are trying to build the kingdom of God. The way that we do that at Heights, it's our mission to love and lead all people to a new life with Christ. And I love that. There is not a more politically charged statement than that. If we truly are going to be a people that loves and leads all people to a new life with Christ, if that's our goal that we're shooting for as a church, then I think that that's the kingdom of God that we're trying to build, not ideological clones, not somebody that is going to vote more like me, but somebody that alongside me can look at scripture and say, you know, I'm looking at the political landscape. I see that both of the common sides in the United States have strong issues with the Word of God and what it teaches. Mm-hmm. We can be politically homeless, political refugees that are longing to be home in the kingdom that we're representing. But right now, we're almost like we're refugees or exiles that are just passing through a land that's not our home.
Because our citizenship is in heaven.
Correct.
I think that's important to remember. You know, and I think it's important to consider how we speak and conduct ourselves, not only online, but also like at, when we're at church.
Absolutely.
When we're in life group. One of the statistics I thought was interesting. Okay, so we, so Alvin, our church is located in kind of, we're outside the city limits of Alvin. We're actually in like kind of like semi-rural, unincorporated Brazoria County.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That tells you a little bit about where we're going to be at, where our demo is. Okay. Well, Brazoria County, like our congressional district, went like red in the last election, like 80-20.
Sure.
Which, so it's by, you know, by polls standards and by like politician and pundit standards, that's a very, very, very red district. That means statistically, when you go to the grocery store, 2 out of 10 people that you encounter are going to have very different political convictions than what you might think are going to be the political convictions of your typical person at church.
Absolutely.
You know, as we look out at that congregation, we might be tempted to think that pretty much everybody in here is going to probably vote the way I do.
Yeah.
And we might all belong to one party.
Right.
Or most likely. But statistically speaking, you know, 2 out of every 10 people that you meet felt strong enough about these issues to vote a different way.
Right.
And so I think especially like when we're in like a small group or a life group context and we start talking about political issues, just remember that not everybody in the room is going to feel the same way about every single issue that you do.
Absolutely.
You know, and so just you choose your words carefully.
Yes.
You know, and I sometimes I feel like all I say over and over again is just, you know, treat other brothers and sisters with respect. But I just think it's really important that we do that, you know, because I think, again, we can come to a place where we can have differences of opinion on issues. And we can even, you know, especially like in a small group context, we can talk about some of these issues.
Sure.
And we might even be in a place where we can persuade brothers and sisters to see an issue differently or maybe more biblically or be more informed, you know. But all of that starts from a place of respect.
Yes.
And I think that part of that respect is making sure you don't just assume that everybody in the room is going to think the same way you do, even if they're the people that you go to church, even if you're in a pretty red district like we are.
Right. Just one more story kind of on that. When I was in college, our church had small groups, mm-hmm. And home groups. And there was one young man who was I think it was Young Democrats of America, but he was pretty high ranking in that club on Texas Tech campus. And he went to my pastor and said he was looking to start a home group for college students that claim to be Democrats.
Okay.
And I'll never forget overhearing this conversation. I was sitting close enough to overhear. I wasn't intentionally eavesdropping, but the thing that my pastor in college said was, when we build our small groups and our home groups, the point is unity and not division. And I think that kind of goes along with what you were saying, that when we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't need to be defined by the who or the how we voted.
Uh-huh.
We need to be defined by the unity that we have in Christ, knowing that there's going to be differences. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Hogan and Jonathan McMeans might agree on a lot of issues, but there's going to be one or two here and there that there's going to be some disagreements on. And it's okay because we're brothers in Christ at the end of the day, and we can break bread and fellowship with one another. And I have friends that would be, you know, on another side of the aisle that would have different disagreements than me, than you might. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have very different disagreements and conversations, and we're still going to break bread together in fellowship with one another.
So let's dig into some of those. I want to hear a little bit more about some of the ideas that you see when you talk about what it means to be kind of politically homeless as a believer.
Okay.
I know you talked about like you like to keep the candidate that you vote for, the party that you vote for, kind of close to the chest, but you feel comfortable talking about ideas. So tell me about some of those ideas. What are some of the ideas or policies that you think about as a believer that are important, that form, you know, what you see as important politically.
Okay. A large portion of it I've already mentioned.
Okay.
I am somebody that is pro-life from womb to tomb. Mm-hmm. And so two really strong views that I think that all Christians should adopt when they're looking at how to vote is the sanctity of life.
Okay.
Being pro-life, protecting the innocent baby that is yet to be born. That's a huge deal to me. And, you know, even philosophically, science even shows when life begins. And so that's one of the areas that there is a, even statistically, the majority of Americans claim to be pro-choice to a certain extent. And that's never ironed out or defined what exactly pro-choice means, because there is a wide distinction in what pro-choice means.
Right.
We don't have to get into that here. But pro-life from womb to tomb, from the moment of conception, means that that is a precious life. Mm-hmm. That is a precious life. It is important to me that a candidate that I vote for has that same view. Mm-hmm. Another one that's really important to me is I am pro-people. Mm-hmm. I love equality. I love being able to see people from different countries that are given opportunities to be successful in the United States of America. I think philosophically that is from the early days of the United States what the United States were supposed to be about. So I love diversity, and I love people. And I think that people should be equal, viewed as equal, voting as equal. And so I want to support a party that doesn't put certain types of people above other types of people. Hmm. That's a big deal to me. Both of the major political parties are guilty of that one.
Interesting.
In my opinion, and feel free to look into it yourself. We don't have to get into specifics. But in my opinion, both parties have a tendency to elevate certain groups at the expense
of other groups.
Got it. And to me, I would like to see something where we all have an equal voice in the room, not necessarily in equality of outcomes, because I don't think that's a realistic goal. I don't know that that's ever going to be achievable, because people are different. Mm-hmm. And so different people are going to get different outcomes every time. Mm-hmm. But just on a base level, we all start from the position of we have certain freedoms, and all of us have those same freedoms. We have the freedom to vote. We have the freedom to speak. We have the freedom to worship. And those are all freedoms that you get equally, regardless of how you vote, where you came from, and who you're worshiping. Okay? And so that's a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. Those are two of the major Christian worldviews that I hold, that I look for in individuals. Notice I did not mention the border. I did not mention open or closed. In my opinion, there needs to be protection in place. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not a proponent of just wide open, unsafe type of things. I'm talking about when people are here and they're in our community, we need to love them, and we need to vote in a way that shows that we love them
and treat them with dignity, value, and worth.
So I believe that the government has adopted a lot of the responsibilities that the church was given. Mm-hmm. And I think that you could make a really good argument that they adopted those because the church wasn't doing a good job at it.
Ouch.
And so
I can definitely see that.
I think that the church needs to do a better job of loving and leading people who God puts in your sphere of influence, in your communities, in your kids' schools, in the grocery stores. We need to do a better job at loving people regardless of how they look, what their ethnicity is, what their race is. And I feel like politically we should do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, of course, if I talk about issues that are really important to me, it is going to tip my hat a little bit on kind of, you'll be able to tell kind of where I lean politically, but I have a very healthy skepticism of government power.
Absolutely.
And so I'm a person who really feels very strongly that, like, the smaller the government, the safer the people.
Okay.
I really am a person that would be, and that comes from the fact that my kingdom is not of this world.
Right.
God's kingdom is not of this world. I am not trusting in the government to save me.
Absolutely.
You know, and I know it's a, it's a joke from several decades ago, but you know, there was a time where there was a very famous politician who says the scariest words is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. So you can kind of see, I mean, that kind of pigeonholes me a little bit politically, but so I'm a person who very, very values, freedom of speech.
Yes.
Very, very much value freedom of religion. That is something that's very, very important to me. The only way people have the opportunity to become believers in Christ is to respond to the gospel.
Yes.
And you can only respond to the gospel if the government isn't forcing you to do it at the barrel of a gun.
Right.
You know, there are Western, particularly like Western European history is filled with very well-meaning kings and nations that said, you're going to be a Christian now and you're going to do it at the edge of a sword.
Yes.
That's not how people get saved. People get saved when they give their lives to Jesus, when they respond to the gospel. And I believe very strongly, you know, and this is one of the things that makes me very Baptist. I believe that only happens when we have the freedom to do that apart from government coercion.
Sure.
So as a person who very highly prizes individual freedom, liberty, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Those are things that are very, very important to
right.
me. You know, those are some things that I hold in a very high value. And so that's going to dictate a lot of where I'm going to land when I'm looking at political issues or political parties or political candidates. One of the things that I always find curious is I'm old enough now to have watched elections and politics move a little bit over the years.
Sure.
And on the one hand, it kind of seems like nothing ever changes because it doesn't really, in a lot of ways, it's like whatever's going on in Washington is kind of like the same old story, regardless of which color happens to be, you know, in the majority that particular year. But then on the other hand, it's curious sometimes, depending on who's in charge, how they're very quick to try and like demonize the other side or try
Absolutely.
To use political power against the other side. And that's why I'm sort of a big fan of like the less political power, the better.
Yeah. You know, on a personal level, I would agree with a lot of that, you know, tyrants to the right and tyrants to the left are both tyrants.
Agreed.
And, it's one of the reason that I find myself in an independent camp that is on some issues way to the right and on other issues might be more to the left. And I'm politically homeless with a high view of freedom. I want the maximum freedom, the smaller government for a lot of the same reasons. But when I see the Christian worldview needing to be protected, those freedoms are an incredible value that you brought up that I mentioned, but that's so important that your political vote, your political candidate, your political party has a high view of your religious freedom. to worship in a way that is maximum freedom and not infringed on by the government. And I think that that's a good place to be.
Any other issues that you think are really important, like to think through as a Christian when you're talking about Christian worldview and your approach to politics?
I think that there are going to be a lot of issues that are important to me that I hold with a very open hand. And the reason that I would hold them with an open hand is because they don't necessarily have strong biblical support for or against them. Mm-hmm. My view on a lot of the social policies or social components of culture, my view on taxation from the right and from the left on my property and on my income
is that it's all theft.
I do hold views that are personal for me, mm-hmm. that I don't necessarily care if other people hold those same views. I came to those views philosophically,
gotcha.
Rather than from a biblical worldview perspective.
Got it.
And so the ones that I mentioned, freedom of religion, pro-life from womb to tomb, loving people and being for people. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that I'm going to draw my line on. There are a handful of other ones when you're dealing with morality and ethics that I would hold to as well, that that would fall in line with my biblical worldview. But for the most part, most of my other political leanings are from the philosophical nature.
Gotcha. So it's only February.
It's only February.
We've still got 9 months till election day.
Okay.
So buckle up.
Sure.
Get ready because, I was thinking about it. It's actually politically, it's actually been, I don't know, from my perspective, it's been kind of quiet. Maybe it's just because I've been busy and not been hanging out on Twitter a whole lot the last few days, but it seems things have been kind of chill politically at the moment, but things are really going to heat up and ratchet up, I'm sure, as we get closer to the November election.
Yeah.
Any final words of encouragement or wisdom for those that are going to be listening to this as they're thinking through the political process in the year 2024?
Yeah, I would say don't underestimate or underview the power of prayer.
That's good.
In it. Not just praying for our nation that people would vote a certain way, but praying that God would give you wisdom in the way that you approach people, the way that you approach politics, and the way that you interact with the culture. It's my desire as a pastor to help people have a more grounded biblical worldview. And there's nothing that I want to see more than people praying and asking God to help give them a kingdom mindset where we focus more on King Jesus, who is ruling and reigning right now over some political figure that may or may not get 4 years of leadership and have access to all of the power. You know, when we're talking about real power is in the name of Jesus.
Amen. That's so good. And all the more reason to constantly be in prayer for our leaders when they might be, have different party affiliation or have different positions than we do.
Right.
You know, because that's what the scriptures call us to do, is to pray for our leaders and pray for the king.
Absolutely.
We don't have a king in America, but you, I think the same principle applies.
But we do in the church.
That's right. And it's King Jesus.
That's right.
Jonathan McMeans, thank you for joining me today on the Heights podcast.
Absolutely.
And I want to say thank you so much to our audience for joining us also. We want to encourage you to subscribe on YouTube so that you can get more content just like this one. We worship every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at our Alvin campus on the south side of Houston. You can join us for 9 a.m. for life groups. And we also stream online every week to Facebook and YouTube. And so we would love to see you in person, or you can check us out online. If you've got more questions about what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to love and to lead all people to a new life with Christ, you can find out more about our church at heightschurch.org. We'll see you next time.
Taxation is theft.